And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show, this guy does a great job with his show there in Colorado Springs, and especially how he covers the Denver Broncos for Extra Sports. He is my good friend, Ryan Kaufman. Ryan, how you doing today?
Mark, it is always a pleasure. I am doing great. How are you?
Well, you know what my question for you is. It's, are you relieved that Russell Wilson is no longer with the Denver Broncos?
Yes. Yeah, I am. And the Broncos had to do this now. I mean, he's clearly not the guy. And it would only be worse if they waited a year or two. So, because that's the thing, right? His extension that the Broncos signed him to, sight unseen, didn't even kick in yet. So it had to be now. And Russell Wilson was not going to be the guy, not when they acquired him, not ever. So just do it now and take your medicine and then see if you can't navigate your way through this.
In hindsight, when they made that trade, were Broncos fans fist pumping? Like, yeah, this is awesome, even though we gave up the King's ransom.
Yes. There were a few people that balked a tiny bit on the price. The overwhelming majority of people were thrilled that Russell Wilson was a Denver Bronco. There was some that said that's a lot to give up for him. Mm-hmm. But no, he was welcome to Denver as a conquering hero, no doubt about it. The asking price being a little bit high, but that could be justified with, look, this team has wandered through the quarterback wasteland. You got to pay a premium to get a franchise quarterback, but now the Broncos have egg on their face because Russell Wilson wasn't even close to that.
I remember that first game. Was it Sunday Night Football against Seattle? And it was kind of like, what is this? Was that the first warning sign that this wasn't going to work?
No, because that was on Hackett. After that game, the question was, why don't you trust Russell Wilson to get a first down and get you closer? Why settle for that long field goal? So game one was the warning sign, the red flag for Nathaniel Hackett, that maybe this guy was in over his skis. The Russell Wilson red flags, I think, started to pile up as the season progressed. And then, you know, just fully, you know, alarm bells went off when Sean Payton took over and Russell Wilson was still coming up short.
Okay, to clarify this then, Ryan Kaufman, didn't the Broncos also give up multiple picks to get Sean Payton?
Yes. Yes, they did. So when you're assessing the Russell Wilson trade, understand that how they got Sean Payton, they had to bring in Sean Payton to fix Russell Wilson. To me, that is more draft capital that you are spending on Russell Wilson, even though it ultimately went to bring in Sean Payton.
Would you do that again if you're looking back? Would you do that to bring in Sean Payton?
What they gave up to get Sean Payton? Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. This team improved by three games. That was not because of Russell Wilson. That was because of Sean Payton. The reason why some people are fooling themselves into thinking that Russell Wilson might be the right guy for them moving forward is because of what Sean Payton did for Russell Wilson. So while the Russell Wilson trade will go down as an abject disaster, landing Sean Payton, the Broncos did get that right. But now he has to get right the original question, which was, how are the Broncos going to get a franchise quarterback?
Who could be the starting quarterback next year then? And can you pay someone to be the quarterback next season?
I don't see it. The stopgap guy is already on the roster in Jared Stidham. Sean Payton went and paid above market value for a backup quarterback in Jared Stidham to bring him in for this eventuality. that he was going to deem Russell Wilson to not be the guy, knowing that he would go some amount of time with Jared Stidham as his starter. And so that is the guy in-house. I would be floored if this team, with all the cap ramifications of the Russell Wilson cut, brought in a Baker Mayfield or brought in a Kirk Cousins. I just don't see it. I think that guy is in-house with Jared Stidham. And then the obvious and apparent route is they have to grab a quarterback in this draft in April.
Oh, and the Kansas City Chiefs are a dynasty in your division, right? As well.
Well, and then you compound it. Like, it's one thing for Sean Payton to say, you know what, I want to take on that dynasty. But he wanted to do it with the Chargers. He didn't want to do it with the Broncos. But the Charger job wasn't open. This guy was getting so itchy to get back into the NFL that he did not want to wait another year for that Charger job to be open. He took the Bronco job, and now the Chargers have Jim Harbaugh, who, if there's anyone that is going to figure things out in L.A., it's Jim Harbaugh. So now it's not just that you have a dynasty at the top of your division. You have finally the Chargers coming to their senses and hiring a respectable, talented head coach to take over that roster that is full of talent. So now the situation in Denver in terms of the division has gotten worse since Sean Payton took the job.
Are they the fourth best team, the Broncos, in the AFC West right now?
I would say that it is a tie between them and the Raiders. I think that the Broncos, top to bottom, have more talent, and I will take Sean Payton over Antonio Pierce. But you look at the Raiders, and they have talent at wide receiver. They have talent at tackle. They have talent at pass rusher that the Broncos do not have. So they're building. The Raiders have more of a path that you can see to be better than the Denver Broncos. But as of right now, on March, whatever it is, I will say that it is a tie for the last worst team in the AFC West.
Are the Broncos in no man's land right now as a team?
I think they are until we see what they do, who they grab in April. I mean, if they don't get a quarterback, which for me would be, I mean, unthinkable at this point. But let's say they don't, and let's say it is Jared Stidham, then that is absolutely no man's land. I fully expect, even if the Broncos draft a quarterback, for them to be worse this coming season than they were this last year. And that's fine as long as you're taking one step back to ultimately take your two steps forward. But right now, we don't know who that guy is. We don't know who they're drafting. We don't know who they're going to have to cut to get under the salary cap, who they're going to – the Broncos claim in their statement about releasing Russell Wilson, they claim they have flexibility. We got to see it. So we don't know what this Broncos team is going to be, and we won't know until probably May or late April to be able to assess how much in no man's land they are. But look, they're not going to be any better than the third best team in their division. And if you're the third best team in your division, then you're really gambling as far as trying to get, you know, that seventh playoff spot. So I think they absolutely are. The question is, are they going to set themselves up to take a step forward, not this coming season, but the year after?
We're here with Ryan Kaufman. He does a great job covering the Broncos. I can feel the pain in your voice. I hope you know that, because this is the team you cover. My thing for you is, okay, Seattle won that trade, but has Seattle really benefit from all those players and draft picks so far?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it feels like I'm splitting hairs, or it's semantics. It certainly is the worst trade that the Broncos have made. I can't find another trade that's worse than that. But if we're going to elevate it to the worst trade in Colorado sports history. The Rockies just gave away Nolan Arenado a couple of years ago for nothing and paid the Cardinals to do it. So is it worse than that? No. Is it the Herschel Walker deal? To your point, I don't see Seattle turning into a dynasty.
No.
So I don't know if it's me trying to protect people's feelings or whatever the case may be. It feels like I'm splitting hairs, but I'm with you. Like, it's not the Herschel Walker deal. No dynasty is going to be born out of this trade. And the Broncos, while they are no closer to being a championship team or a playoff team than they were 2 years ago, they certainly, you know, it is to me, unless this cap hit just destroys them, which there's a non-zero chance that it will, but they claim it won't. So right now, it's just a big nothing burger. It was a much ado about nothing, and certainly it's the worst trade in Broncos history, but to raise it to other echelons, I don't have it, and it's because I don't see a dynasty coming out of Seattle, and I remember where the Broncos were a couple of years ago, and it's like, well, they weren't any good back then either.
Okay, should I tell you about the Ricky Williams trade that I feel like doesn't get enough love of how stupid it was? Should I tell it to you one more time?
Ditka trading the entire draft for Ricky Williams?
All right, so this says, so the fifth overall pick in 99. So they gave up their first, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and in 2000, first and third pick. How was that even allowed? And especially, even with your Broncos, with this Russell Wilson, why didn't Roger Goodell step up and be like, you know what? No, don't do this. This is too much capital for Russell Wilson. Come on. What are you doing? Oh, see, all right. My Bears have the first pick in the draft. What could the Bears get for the first pick in your eyes after we've seen these ridiculous trades?
What they can get and what they should ask for are two different things, because I think, to your point, what the Broncos have given up, what the Panthers just gave up, people are looking at the Panthers and the Broncos as cautionary tales. I don't think your boy he's my boy too. He came from Kansas City.
Nice.
I don't think he can get what he got for the number one pick last year, but I think he has a fiduciary responsibility to the Bears to ask for more, because we're talking about Caleb Williams here. What he ends up getting for the first pick, what he can get, I don't know, two picks, a decent player, and a future, two first-round picks, a second, and a player. Does that sound right?
I still can't believe two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and players for Russell Wilson. I can't get over it. I want that. Hell, there's a part of me, I'd ask for three first-round picks for the first pick in this draft. I'm not kidding. That's what I'd ask for. Give me three of them. Your next three.
But they're not. But they're not, though. They're taking Caleb, aren't they?
I feel like, and I've said this over the last couple weeks, I think the NFL is going to step in and be like, all right, Bears, this is it. This is the craziest stat. You're the only team in the history of the NFL where a passer is not thrown for 4,000 yards in a season. And they've been around for 100 years. You're the only one that's never done this. The Texans have done it multiple times with their quarterback play. And I feel like you can't have the number one pick 2 years in a row, then trade down. No. I think they're going to step up, and universally everyone's saying to take Caleb Williams. So if he's a bust, you can't rip him apart. I think it's Caleb Williams with the first pick. That's what I'm going with.
Right. Well, you know who would love Ryan Poles to trade down is Sean Payton. Sean Payton called Caleb Williams like he called for the draft rules to change, like to go to a lottery system because he thought that teams would tank so badly in order to land Caleb Williams, because he thought that Caleb Williams was that good. So the Broncos surely don't have what it takes to move up to number one, But I think Sean Payton, in his wildest dreams, would love to get his hands on Caleb Williams, and essentially he could only do that by moving up to number one.
You know, if the Broncos had the first pick, he would not believe in this lottery idea. He'd be like, no, that's my pick. Sorry.
Right. Well, the question ultimately becomes, in retrospect, but hey, we got time, right, until April. I can talk about this kind of stuff on the show. Like, if Sean Payton believed that Caleb Williams was that dude and Russell Wilson was far from being that dude, why didn't he tank to get Caleb Williams? Like, there was a time when the Denver Broncos were heading to the number one pick, and Sean Payton's ego just would not let him do that. So it's like he would love to have – maybe that's what he was hoping, that a lottery system was implemented. They finished with, you know, just barely, you know, out of the playoffs or whatever. They'd be in this lottery, and he'd get a lucky keychain or something and bring it to the lottery and win the rights to Caleb Williams. But it's like, you could have done this, dude. You could have tanked.
No.
And you chose not to.
Who do you think's the second quarterback on the board?
Jaden Daniels. I think if you're the Commanders, you are like, look, Caleb is better, right? And in an ideal world, the Bears would pass and they could take Caleb Williams. But I think Washington would. I think you could be very happy, understanding you got the second best quarterback in the draft, but you'd be happy with Jaden Daniels.
Where do you think Justin Fields goes?
I thought he was getting traded to Atlanta last week.
I know.
I watched the Instagram video and I'm like, oh, he's going to Atlanta. I still think ultimately that's where he goes. It makes way too much sense. I think Atlanta is playing hardball with Chicago, knowing that Chicago must trade Justin Fields. I think Fields ends up with Atlanta, and I really like the fit. I would put Fields as the third best quarterback in this draft. So if you're the Atlanta and you're at eight and you can give up a third round pick, a second round pick, whatever it is, to get essentially the third best quarterback, most talented quarterback, quote unquote, in this draft, you're thrilled. But right now they're just trying to make Ryan Poles sweat over it.
If the Bears owned the third or fourth pick, do you think they would have just kept Justin Fields?
Yeah. Yes. Cause then you go Marvin Harrison and it would be easy. That the confluence of events that have led to this are quite something, because if the Carolina Panthers weren't absolutely terrible, right, the Bears would be at least only with the first pick. Are they in this, and I don't even want to say predicament because I think they're in a really good spot, but only through the Panthers' complete ineptitude under David Tepper did the Bears end up in this position. If the Bears would have had second through 32, they keep Fields without a doubt, and they take Marvin Harrison Jr. Only with a talent like Caleb Williams at your fingertips do you move Justin Fields. And that's the situation that the Bears are in.
And remember, 2 years ago, there was a final game between the Texans and the Colts with Lovie Smith as the coach.
Lovie.
So the Texans win that game for no reason and get the second pick. So that's why the Bears got the first pick. It's like, what? And then remember, this is the other thing with the Panthers. I think that owner wanted Bryce Young, and then I think Frank Wright wanted C.J. Stroud with the first pick. And then
I think that Frank Wright bowed down to David Tepper, thinking that, okay, it's not my number one guy. I don't think that Frank Wright looked at Bryce Young and said, I can't win with this dude. But I just don't think he held true to his convictions and let Tepper kind of push him in the direction of Bryce Young.
Does Caleb Williams start game one for the Bears?
Yes.
Do you bring in a veteran quarterback then as the backup? All right. It's going. See, I could see the scenario. So you trade Justin Fields, let's say, like you're saying, to Atlanta. Then Caleb Williams is the first pick. Then you bring in some veteran guy. Let's say it's, I don't know, hypothetically, what if it's Jimmy G or someone like that? I would not be shocked if the veteran starts the opener and Caleb Williams needs a couple weeks to get used to it. I could see that.
Yeah, but, you know, and normally that's the way it goes. But at the same time, look at what Indianapolis did with Anthony Richardson. And we thought Anthony Richardson, more than anybody else in this draft, would need the longest amount of time. Mm. And Steichen's like, no, let's do this. Let's go. And if not for him getting hurt, I mean, how good of a rookie year would Anthony Richardson have had with the Indianapolis Colts? So I just feel like if there was one correct way to do it, everybody would do it the same way. And I have been a guy that has said, you know, wait, find a soft landing spot, right? Find the right matchup a month into the year, whatever. But I feel like if I'm talking about Caleb Williams, like I've been talking about him, that kind of a talent, that dude is, that guy should be week one ready.
Before I let you go, you brought up the Chiefs. Can we come to an agreement? They should never be an underdog ever again with Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game.
Yeah, we just, if I hear one person say anything about their doubt about the Kansas City Chiefs based on something that happens in the regular season, they should have their microphone or camera taken away from them. That's what we have learned, is that the regular season does not matter to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to try and figure some stuff out. They're going to do some funky stuff. Their motivation factor isn't as high. When the playoffs roll around, and I'm not saying that I was saying this last year. I fell victim to it. I'm like, oh, the wide receivers, and they don't have home field, and da-da-da-da-da. But the lesson learned is just it's absolutely the Chiefs until somebody beats them in the postseason.
That second half at Baltimore for the title game should be studied by medical science, how the Chiefs won that game. It's one of those moments. It reminded me of 28-3 with the Falcons and Patriots, where I am openly swearing at the television for the Ravens to just get back to basics and win that game. And they just got caught up in the moment and the Chiefs just pounced on them. Again, I still can't believe the Ravens lost that game. I hope you know that.
Right. I mean, and in Detroit is, you know, feeling good about themselves because the heat got taken off of them because Baltimore went out and did the same thing that the Detroit Lions did. And just, but going up against Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, there's a psychological effect to it. And it just makes you do some goofy stuff. And that's what the Baltimore Ravens did. Hopefully the NFL has learned their lesson, or else we're looking at our first three-peat.
When they scored in overtime in the Super Bowl, my thought process was the Chiefs stole this whole postseason from these jabroni teams who are stupid. They won this Super Bowl. They should have not won. And they're going to get better receivers next year and be better. That's literally what I thought driving home. How about you?
This was the year. And I said, this is the year, regardless of whether I thought that the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl or not, just throughout, I said, you better get them now.
I know.
You better get them now, because this is what happened after, and you know this better than anybody. What was the first thing the Chiefs did after they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl?
They got a defense.
But the first order of business from Brett Veach was he rebuilt that offensive line that was Swiss cheese and allowed JPP to wreak havoc on Patrick Mahomes. And I felt the same way through the Chiefs throughout the year, is you better get him now, because the first order of business for Brett Veach this offseason is he's going to get better weapons for Patrick Mahomes. And I fully believe if the Buccaneers wouldn't have anteed up the way they did for Mike Evans, Mike Evans would be a Kansas City Chief.
Oh, that is scary. But it didn't happen. But you
did not happen, but it was going to before the Bucks stepped in and said, no, take all the money.
You lose Tyreek Hill. He has back-to-back, like, Super Bowl-level type seasons for wide receiver for Miami. Elevates Miami to a playoff contender every year in two seasons. But the Chiefs won two Super Bowls without him. What?
Which is why we have teams like the Denver Broncos that are willing to give up a plethora of draft picks, multiple players, and sign someone to a $250 million extension before he even plays it down. Because you look at what the Chiefs do with Patrick Mahomes and you say, boy, if we get our guy, all things are possible. And that's why we have teams making egregious decisions like the Denver Broncos 2 years ago.
See, that's why you look at Marvin Harrison Jr. He is a once-in-a-generation talent. His dad was awesome in the Hall of Fame. But am I going to spend the third pick in the draft on a wide receiver? Are we really doing that? Like, is that how you build a team? That's the question.
If I'm New England or I'm Arizona, I feel like the separation between Harrison and Adunze is small enough that I'd be happy to take on an extra draft capital and move back. And Malik Nabers, for that matter. And this is not about that I doubt Marvin Harrison. I think he's that dude. But I think Nabers and Adunze are close enough that if you gave me Rome Adunze and an additional second, an additional first, whatever it might be, if I'm Arizona or New England, I take that every day of the week.
Ryan Kaufman, you do a great job out there in Colorado covering the NFL. My man, thank you so much for your help and have a great day.
You do an amazing job, Mark. Appreciate the time, buddy.